About real weapons, however, Siddiq Ali and the rest knew little. Only Emad Salem had experience with arms and explosives. The former Egyptian officer had become part of the circle in 1991 when he met some of the others at Nusayr's trial. As he got to know the Jihad circle, he impressed them with talk of his military experience as a sniper and commando. While driving to a conference in Detroit, he told Sheikh Rahman that he was a mujahid, a holy warrior, because he had fought the Israelis in the 1973 war. And he endured it when Rahman sneered at him, saying that he was no mujahid because he had fought for the infidel government of Egypt. How, Salam asked, could he redeem himself? Turn the barrel of your gun on Mubarak, the Egyptian president, replied the sheikh. He is a tyrant and the loyal dog of the Americans. Salem put up with the derision for a reason. The FBI paid him to. He had attended the Nusayr trial at the Bureau's behest. He became a member of the Blind Sheikh's court and, except for a few months, had been a regular informant on the group. In the latter half of 1992 and early 1993, Salem's relationship with the Bureau was suspended. In part, this happened because he warned agents that he did not want to ever testify, perhaps because he believed it would make him the target of people whom he feared. In part two, it appears that the Bureau had lost interest. If so, the agents who handled him showed poor timing. The period when he went off the payroll coincided with the World Trade Center bombing conspiracy. Salem was a habitual liar. He told the woman who would become his wife that he had been not only the head of security for the Egyptian president, but also a senior official in military intelligence, and that he had been wounded in combat. None of it was true. He had most recently been a security guard at the high-end department store Bergdorf Goodman and an engineer at a New York Best Western hotel. Even so, he would insist later on the witness stand that he had warned the Bureau about the plot against the World Trade Center. It takes a bomb with you guys to wake up and start to move, FBI documents after the attack quoted him as saying to agents. Terstop, the FBI's name for its operation to stop terrorists in the aftermath of the first World Trade Center attack, was not quite ABSCAM for jihadists, but it was not far off. Salem was the catalyst. Without him, the conspiracy would not have gotten off the ground. He provided a safe house in Queens, which the Bureau wired for video surveillance, and made the work plan for building fuel fertilizer bombs. Together with Siddiq Ali and another conspirator, Amir Abdelghani, a Sudanese driver for a medical delivery service, he surveyed targets, the list of which continually lengthened. The heart of the plan involved destroying the Lincoln and Holland tunnels. And the conspirators visited them repeatedly to decide where they would park their car bombs and how they would escape in other vehicles, which would be following in another lane. They considered attacking the George Washington Bridge, but were unsure of what was needed to bring it down. They scouted stores in Midtown Manhattan's Diamond District, whose jewelry retailers and wholesalers are mostly Jewish. The FBI building remained a priority, as did the UN, where Siddiq Ali was making arrangements with an official from the Sudanese mission to get access to the garage. As the roster of targets lengthened, so did the number of participants. Fariz Kalafala, a young man whose mother described him as beginning to live the American dream, purchased timers and fertilizers and tried to buy stolen cars for use as bomb vehicles. Mohammed Saleh, a Bronx gas station owner, was enlisted to provide 255 gallons of diesel fuel to mix with the fertilizer. Victor Alvarez, a Puerto Rican convert to Islam, who was borderline retarded and a habitual cocaine user, was given the job of procuring a machine gun so the group could fend off police, who might try to stop the bomb-laden cars on the way to their destinations. In all, 11 men, including the blind sheikh, would be eventually counted as co-conspirators. The preparations in the Queen's safe house began in June. As more individuals joined the circle, Siddiq Ali pumped them up. 1 billion Muslims, he said, did not see any action when the World Trade Center was bombed. The attack was supposed to reverse the world hierarchy and bring the mighty low. But instead, America, which was hit, became the god of the infidels and liars, instead of God the Almighty. This plan would be different. You want to hit something which will paralyze the economy. You bring it to the lowest level. As they prepared to build the bombs, they bought bags of Scott's Super Turf Builder, probably not what they needed. Though the target list remained nebulous, they began mixing fuel and fertilizer on June 23rd. Then the FBI agents burst in. When the case came to court, El Said Nosseir was included among the indictees, all of whom were charged with the unusual crime of seditious conspiracy. Many faced a variety of other counts as well. Among those against Nosseir were federal charges for the killing of Maya Kahana. Through much of the eight-month-long trial, an attorney who sat near him recalls Nosseir spent much of his time drawing. The man whose sister said he found America morally deficient drew portrait after portrait of one person, Princess Diana.